Right now, for cities and states facing tight budgets, public-private partnerships are becoming a popular way to fund big infrastructure projects. Cities have privatized toll roads, parking meters, and even water utilities. And as President Trump calls for a plan to privatize air traffic control and more infrastructure spending, the trend could be going national.
While the arrangements help save tax money up front, critics say that over time they amount to a giveaway for Wall Street investment firms. They claim that giving up local control opens the door for rising rates, falling wages for workers, and environmental dangers.
Rebecca Burns is an associate editor at In These Times. She writes about labor, housing, and education, and her recent piece on privatizing infrastructure is called A New Deal for Wall Street. Rebecca, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, earlier this year, President Trump announced an infrastructure spending plan as part of the White House's budget request. What do we know so far about what the president's approach to infrastructure spending could look like?
Right. So, you know, calling it an infrastructure plan at this point is probably a little bit of a charitable description. We don't have a lot of details still. I guess the closest thing that we do have is kind of a broad outline for a plan that involves $200 billion in public funding that would leverage $800 billion in private investment. So we don't know whether that might come through tax credits, for example. And even then, you know, a lot of policy experts say that that math is a little bit optimistic.
You make the case in your piece that the climate is right now for public-private partnerships and that approach to infrastructure spending. And these partnerships already exist out there, a lot of them with Wall Street investment firms. Can you tell us about the kinds of things that private investment firms are putting their money into and what kind of money we're talking about?
Sure. Well, public-private partnerships are, as you said, a model that's been in existence for a few decades now. There's actually a concern, you know, among advocates that this model will really accelerate, specifically because the outcomes with it are often mixed. So right now, infrastructure is a really sort of attractive area for private investment. There's about $413 billion in private infrastructure investment last year. So that can be anything from, you know, private investors actually taking over operation of, say, a toll road, or just private equity firms raising money to invest in an existing asset.
Well, you live in Chicago, and it sounds like Chicago has been a bit of a testing ground for private infrastructure investment with their parking meters. Can you tell us what's happened there?
Yeah, Chicago's really been sort of a laboratory for this type of initiative. So the Chicago parking meter privatization deal, I think, is a little bit infamous in circles that follow these things. The city received $1.2 billion in 2008, and in return, a consortium of investors leased the parking meters for 75 years, which means they can collect revenues. So they've hiked parking fees quite a bit. They're sort of on track to make up what they paid the city by 2020. But sort of the catch here, that it's not clear whether city council members who reviewed the deal were sort of clued into, is that the city has also had to pay the investors for lost revenue. So, for example, anytime a street is closed or if the city wants to put in a bike lane, it actually has to then pay those new owners of the parking meters for revenue that they would have gotten had people been parking there. And those fees so far have amounted to more than $40 million. So the concern is really that just the city, it'll be sort of a wash. And meanwhile, drivers in Chicago are sort of footing those costs.
And you write that investment has tied the hands in some cases of city planners who are out to solve some specific problems.
Exactly. Yeah. So, this issue with the city having to pay the new owners of the parking meters every time there's the potential for lost revenue has really sort of created disincentives for it to look at, for example, putting in new mass transit or bike lanes, because there would be sort of these additional costs. And again, those are locked in for a very long time. This contract goes for 75 years. So besides just sort of the fiscal cost, one of the concerns here is really sort of the lack of local democratic control.
Rebecca Burns is an associate editor at In These Times. She's talking about a recent piece on privatizing infrastructure. It's called A New Deal for Wall Street. And let's look at the big picture now at the Trump White House. Now, the president has in place a special assistant to the president for infrastructure policy named DJ Gribben. Could you tell us about him and what his standing is right now?
Sure. So this is a brand new position that was created in the National Economic Council called the Special Advisor for Infrastructure. And DJ Gribben is coming out of one of sort of the largest investment banks that, that deals with infrastructure. It's called Macquarie. And prior to that, he had sort of been in the Federal Highway Administration under George Bush, George W. Bush, and before that in Koch Industries. So he's really had a sort of long career in promoting these types of public-private partnerships. And so there's a concern that someone who has sort of a very narrow focus on pushing this type of model will have such a big hand in planning infrastructure.
And the Macquarie Group, they have been instrumental in pioneering a kind of public-private partnership that is doing pretty well, I think, around the world, not just in the United States. Can you tell us about what the model is that they've set up?
Sure. So this is actually an Australian bank. It earned the name Vampire Kangaroo from sort of unhappy customers who felt that it was sort of relentlessly pursuing profits. It sort of pioneered this model of public-private partnerships to take over everything from toll roads. It did one of the first public-private partnerships for transportation infrastructure in the U.S. when it purchased the Chicago Skyway. It's also taken over municipal water systems, for example, in London. There have been concerns, again, with steep rate increases and then also declining quality.
Now, both Republican and Democratic leaders have at times been advocates for this kind of public-private partnership, particularly in infrastructure. Why do you think the idea has been able to find support on both sides of the aisle?
Right. Well, you know, it sort of looks like a very good deal on its face, particularly for cities and states that are cash-strapped. You know, there's often a sort of offer for a big sum of money up front from private investors, and then they'll sort of take over the management of an asset. But this is sort of a case where oftentimes, you know, there's sort of no such thing as a free lunch, that sometimes the deals entail the types of sort of hidden fees that I talked about, or there's just a question of whether the private sector really ends up being more adept at managing, you know, mass infrastructure than the public sector was.
And you write in your piece with concern about this willingness to make these kinds of public-private partnerships that save money but give up control of some of the big projects to private firms. What are some of the specific things that you worry about?
Right. Well, you know, as I mentioned, there are sometimes these sort of hidden fees, like Chicago's seen with respect to its parking meter deal. And then I think also just, you know, the type of infrastructure that is attractive to private investors isn't necessarily the best type of infrastructure that a community needs. So rural areas, lawmakers in rural areas are quite concerned about this type of approach because it's unlikely that, you know, fixing water systems or keeping roads in good repair in a rural area will ever be profitable enough to attract private investment. You know, there is just sort of this issue that since these contracts often last longer than, you know, human lifetimes, the local government is really getting sort of locked into an arrangement with very little democratic oversight for the very long term.
And Rebecca, just briefly as we wrap up, as Congress goes forward and possibly takes up a Trump infrastructure proposal that could be heavy on private investment, do you think there's a chance that the climate is right for this kind of mass public private partnership to take off?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, I think this is something that initially was being singled out as a potential area for bipartisan collaboration. I think Democrats have really soured on this idea as it's become clear that the strategy that the Trump administration has in mind is so reliant on public-private partnerships. You know, as I mentioned, Democrats have often backed this type of approach. So we'll have to sort of wait and see. Certainly right now, this has fallen down lower on the Trump administration's agenda. But it's still, you know, getting some sort of infrastructure plan still is an urgent need.
Rebecca, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Rebecca Burns, associate editor at In These Times. And she joined us to talk about the growing trend toward privatizing infrastructure in America.